This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast where we take a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're celebrating the women's basketball team's first ever NESCAC title. Plus, men's track and field had a strong showing at New England's, and it's National Athletic Trainers Month. Meet Andrew England, certified athletic trainer for women's hoops at Bates. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The women's basketball team made history over the weekend. Attorney underdog Bates defeated top seed Trinity 57-55 on Saturday in the NESCAC semifinals. Then they upended number 8 nationally ranked Amherst 51-42 on Sunday, securing the program's first ever NESCAC title and becoming the first ever 5 seed to capture the championship. With the title, they clinch an automatic bid at the NCAA tournament, and on Monday the Bobcats found out they will travel to New York City to take on Roger Williams in the first round, Friday at 5 p.m. Junior captain Megan Graff scored 20 points against both the Bantams and the Mammoths over the weekend. She was named the NESCAC Player of the Week, and she is our female Bobcat of the Week.
Cutting down the nets, that must have been such a special experience there at Trinity. Take us through that process, and you got to be the one who waves it around, right?
It was really cool, I think, all of us. I've never gone to cut down a net before, and I know other women on the team haven't had the chance to cut down the net. So it was obviously a really cool experience doing that. And then knowing we're doing it as conference champs was even better.
And then, the Amherst game, you're up 40-20 after three quarters. Mm-hmm. They start to rally. You made some big free throws down the stretch. But what was kind of going through your mind, say, especially that moment when they hit three straight three-pointers, right?
Yeah. I just think we were leading the whole game. We had a 20-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and obviously they made a run, but it was kind of like we were waiting for them to make a run at some point. I mean, only having 20 points going into the fourth quarter, especially with a team like Amherst, I would say is pretty uncommon. So just them finally going on a run in the fourth and us being able to respond. We had to respond in the Trinity game the day before. So in the moment, I mean, I think looking back at it, it's easier to say like, yeah, it was fine, but definitely they did make it close at one point.
Certainly. And then you mentioned the Trinity game the day before. You made two big free throws in that game. I mean, the free throw shooting for this team has been really good all across the board this year. I saw you practiced a lot of practice, obviously. What's been the key in that? It's kind of like not the most exciting part of basketball, but it's a very important part, right?
Yeah. The saying, free throws win or lose games. And we always, like, I know at the beginning of the season, we were struggling to get to the line as much as we are now. And we talked about it a lot. Like, we got to get to the line more. We got to get to the line. And we do practice it. We do drills in practice where it adds some pressure on you where you're not just taking like an easy free throw. In the moment, you do this stuff all the time. It's just being able to do it with a little bit more pressure. And obviously it worked out.
NCAA tournament. I know Coach Montgomery, she went there as a player. This will be your first trip. Have you talked to her yet about what her experience is like at NCAAs?
Unfortunately, I haven't talked to her about it yet, but I think it's really cool that we have a coach who has this experience and she can hopefully just not only like probably like put us in a better situation for and help us prepare, but just knowing that like obviously none of us on the team have experience yet, knowing that like our leader of our team does is really cool.
What was it like the selection show yesterday, Monday? Because you knew you were in, but you still had to wait like 30 minutes just to see your name on the board.
Yeah.
Right?
It was so weird because I was starting to get a little like, come on, I want to see it. Even knowing our name was going to be up there, I think it was just like there is kind of like a surprise factor to it because you have no idea where you're going to go. You don't know who you're going to play. So that aspect was really exciting. And I can't imagine the teams that aren't sure if they're going to make it and are waiting to get a bid into the tournament. So it was still really a cool process for us.
And Roger Williams, this is not a team that Bates has played before, but they are kind of a New England team there in Rhode Island. You're going to New York City to play them. I mean, what are your thoughts on this first round matchup?
I honestly don't know a ton about Roger Williams. I think it's funny because we were actually going to play them in our Christmas tournament this year at WPI, and that got canceled. But I think they're a tough team. From what I heard, they play fast. They transition. And it's going to be cool playing them in New York. We have a few girls on the team from there. So I think it will be really cool for just like being a place where, some of the team really is from. I don't know. I think the whole experience is exciting no matter where we were. I think we would just be super grateful to be here.
When they announced the matchups, they mentioned Roger Williams is a really good rebounding team. But Bates is pretty good at rebounding too. What's it like to have those post players? I mean, Ari and Bree and Taylor as a guard, what's it like to have them, you know, giving you those second chances if you need them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're the reason that we can put so many points up on the board a lot of the games. It's huge. It's kind of been like our X factor all season, being able to get second chance opportunities. I think it's a game changer when, say, you're struggling to shoot or if teams are in a zone and a lot of the shots that you're settling for are like outside shots, out of the paint shots, and having three or four people on the team who are consistent rebounders, especially getting O boards, it gives us a lot more momentum.
What does it say about this team that you were able to in three games beat three teams who they had beaten you before this year? You beat Amherst as well, but they'd all beaten you before, but you were able to beat them when it mattered the most. What's it say about this squad that you were able to do that there?
Oh, I like that question. I think it just shows that like what we're capable of, and there's never really a doubt of if there's like, we knew that we could beat these teams. It was just putting all the pieces together at the right time to do so. And I think of course, like, we're striving to win every single game, whether it's regular season, in conference, out of conference, playoffs. But when the stakes are higher, it just gives us all the more incentive that we need to like perform every single game, all 40 minutes. And it was obvious that we could do that for these last three games. And I think we're just in a really good place going into the tournament with the way we've been playing, with the way everyone, all five people on the court all the time can play, can score, can play defense. It's cool.
And the defense, I mean, really stood out. We mentioned, you know, holding Amherst only 20 points through three quarters. That was like their worst shooting in like 10 years, basically. So what was the key to that great defensive effort in your mind?
Definitely team defense and one-on-one defense played both huge parts in it. I mean, our team defense, these past two games we played, they've had some really key, strong post players to other team, both Trim and Amherst, and being able to dig in as guards to make that second, third help rotation. It had to be there. And we knew that going into the game, it was a part of both our game plans. And obviously that girl, there's a player on Amherst who's super shifty, super quick, and Mia stepping up and playing her all game was huge for us. It was really, really key. And she was just able to keep her in front, and that like didn't force us to give up many wide open layups. And I feel like every bucket that Amherst scored, they really had to work for it.
And then what are your thoughts on NCAAs coming up you wanted to share? I mean, cause it's obviously everyone's very excited.
Yeah. Sure. I just think we have three practices this week before we hit the road on Thursday. So just making the most out of that. And obviously just can't wait till Friday.
There you go. Megan Graff, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. NESCAC Player of the Week, and of course, part of the NESCAC Champion Bobcats. Thanks again.
The track and field teams compete at the New England Division III Indoor Championships over the weekend, with the women placing 10th and the men recording their best showing at the meet since 2016, placing 5th. On the women's side, senior captain Elise Lambert won the New England title in the 600 meters, and it's almost a lock to make the NCAA Championships, so we'll catch up with her closer to the big meet. On the men's side, a number of Bobcats turned in impressive performances, with sophomore Ned Farrington moving into third place on the Bates all-time performance list in the 3K, racing to the finish in 8 minutes, 25.59 seconds. Good for fourth place in New England. He also anchored the fourth place distance medley relay team. and Ned Farrington is our male Bobcat of the week.
The 3K. How about that? Jumping right onto third in the all-time performance list here at Bates. Take us through this race.
Yeah, no, very exciting jump for me, and just a great weekend all around for the team. Going into the race, I had raced the mile leg of the DMR the night before, so the legs were a little bit tired, but, you know, I got some good recovery in the night before and, you know, got my mental space squared away and was able to get into that race, and, you know, I fought as hard as I could and kind of surprised myself in those last 600 meters and was able to hang on for fourth place in a 11-second PR, so, yep.
I mean, yeah, you get the sense at near the end that you still have, you know, some juice in your legs, right, to make a strong push. Is that how you were feeling?
Exactly, yeah. I think with about probably a K to go, I didn't necessarily trust myself. There was a big move made at the front, and, you know, I made the decision to cover it with the risk of maybe kind of blowing up and falling off the pack. But yeah, I really surprised myself and was able to hang on to it, and yeah.
So when you're in a race like that, you're obviously with a lot of other really fast runners because, I mean, the people who finished ahead of you were just – it's amazing that you're third all time but, like, fourth in the race.
Yeah.
But, like, and that helps though, right? I mean, it helps to have those fast people.
Definitely. I've had other races this season, actually in the mile leg of that DMR the night before where, you know, I'm kind of alone and it's a lot harder to push yourself in those scenarios than it is when you've got, you know, five other guys right with you. You know, all competing for that top spot. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, you touched on the DMR. You mentioned it was on Friday. A really strong showing for the men there also. What's that group like in the DMR in terms of how happy were you with the performance you guys turned in there?
Yeah, so we were definitely hoping to get top three. We came up just shy in fourth. But weirdly enough, the top three teams broke the previous meet record. So, in some ways, we weren't too upset with it because it was just such a fast race. But, you know, we all battled super hard in that race. And that time of 10:13, we were very happy with and can't complain too much yet.
And then for you individually, you're going to Tufts. They call it the last chance meet this weekend. So what's going to be your approach? I mean, you probably have to take some risks again, I imagine, right?
Definitely. I think there's a good group of guys also, some of them were in that race as well at New England's, and they'll be running there again. And we'll have a pacer who actually, I think, happens to be a coach at Tufts who is still quite fit and able to pace us through. And so basically it'll just be hanging on to the back of the pack, hoping I can handle the pace and, you know, have a good last lap and hope we get under the time of 8:20, which should get us the nationals.
So for people who don't know, explain the role of the pacer, because this is only a thing at Tufts, right? Is that right?
Yeah, most meets would not have that, especially in D3. And the pacer basically just makes it so that the race is evenly split, so you're you know, losing as little energy as possible while going through. That's better than, you know, going out slow and finishing really fast, or going out fast and finishing slow. So yep, that's their rule.
Is it trying to help you basically qualify for NCAAs almost?
Yeah, they'll go right on that pace of, right. I think it's 8:20 right now is the cutoff, so he'll go right on that pace and we'll just kind of cruise our way to it, hopefully. Yeah.
And you told me off air that you need to cut 4 more seconds off your time, right?
Yep, so I'm at 8:25 and I think the cutoff right now is like, it's 8:20 point high, yeah, somewhere around there.
And that might seem like a lot, but you just cut 11 seconds off, right? So what's 4 more? 5 more, right?
Yeah, hopefully I can get those last 4 seconds, yeah.
And then how about some of your teammates going to last chance? I mean, what are you looking forward to seeing from them? Because obviously they all were really good at New England. I mean, the throwers were terrific.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to see what they can do. I mean, the throwers have been showing up all season, and all of them are kind of like right on that cut off. You know, it's really just going to take one big throw from any of them to make nationals. One of the throwers, Liam Byrne, was explaining to me yesterday that, like, it's literally going to come down to the difference between the way he even twists his foot, because that could give him an extra foot or so, and that could get him to nationals. And Truman, you know, he got tripped up in the race at New England, so we know he has like a lot left to give. So he definitely be watching for him. He could definitely get a nationals qualifier. And John as well, I'm very excited to see. He's been training really hard all season, and he's finally kind of tapering off of his mileage now. So I think he'll be well-rested going into that race, and he could drop a really big time.
And that's John Mashansky.
Yeah, John Mashansky. Yeah,
yeah. Because we also have John Everett. Yeah,
as well,
yeah. He's quite the personality. I had him on earlier. But what's this team like in general, kind of the dynamic of the men's track and field team this year? I mean, you're a sophomore. You're finally getting a competitive indoor season, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think throughout this entire season, the energy's just been very electric because, you know, we don't have any of those athletes right now that are, like, kind of, like, guaranteed All-Americans, but we're all, like, just fighting super hard to be competitive. And I'd say, like, kind of the spread between our best and our worst athlete is a lot lower than in a normal year, so it's just really cool because, you know, even in practice, everything is super competitive, and in any given meet, we're competitive with other teams, but also our teammates, so it just makes for, you know, a very competitive atmosphere every single day.
Well, yeah, I've noticed that, like, every meet, it seems like there's someone else stepping up and turning a big performance. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, as a sophomore, well, take us back to when you were in high school. What made Bates the place for you?
Yeah, so, I was obviously looking at a few more NESCACs because, you know, the small liberal arts school seemed kind of up my alley. I went to a small high school. I didn't think I was quite ready for something in the 20,000 range. But, Coach Fresh was actually the one who talked to me the most. And just the way he pitched the program was just an overall, you know, commitment across the board to the sport that I didn't really see from other schools. And it was just, it seemed that Bates was a lot more kind of team-oriented than at a lot of the other schools where they were just focused on individual success, getting individual All-Americans. And here at Bates, I mean, it's held true. It's just, we're very, very team-oriented in cross-country and in track, which I think is rare because it's very much an individual sport, but yep.
And then Coach Johnson, obviously, I mean, I've been hearing great things. Obviously, he had experience as an assistant. Now his first year as head coach, how's that gone?
He's brought great energy to the program. And, you know, he's very in tune with kind of all event groups, which I think is good, especially considering last year he was only working with the sprinters. And, you know, he's really stepped up and paid good attention to, you know, every event group. After every workout, every race, he's given me high fives and everything, so... Yeah, he's really stepped up big time.
Great. And then, any other thoughts on, like, the season so far? And also, I guess, New England in particular, fifth place, but it was really close, right? I mean, Bates was right there between Bowdoin and Amherst. It was quite the battle.
Yeah, it really did come down to a matter of a few points. So we're definitely looking to improve on that. In outdoor, we'll get another shot at it. Actually, in outdoor track, we add in the events of javelin and discus, which is huge because
more throwers.
Yeah, exactly. Throw seemed to be our strong suit. So that'll be very exciting. But yeah, we were kind of right on the edge of that podium spot. And I think we were very happy with that fifth place finish, but at the same time, a little bit kind of left wanting more. So it's going to keep us very motivated going into outdoor, which is exciting. Yep.
Yeah, outdoor season should be interesting because you have a chance to sweep the main state meets, which is a kind of a rare achievement for any school.
Yeah, we're definitely looking for the trifecta. We've been talking about that since cross country, so we'd love to do that.
Awesome. Well, Ned, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again on being the third fastest 3K runner in Bates history.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
The Bates baseball team has a successful season opening trip to Florida, winning 2 of 3 at the Russ Matt Invitational. The Bobcats opened the season with a 14-2 win over Northern Vermont Linden on Friday and finished off the trip with a big rally to beat the Carthage College Firebirds of Kenosha, Wisconsin, 12-10 on Sunday. Junior Henry Jamison went 5-for-13 at the plate for Bates, scoring 4 runs, tallying 2 doubles, homering, and driving in 3 runs over 3 games.
So originally I wanted to play in the Northeast at a high academic, specifically like the Ivy League. So I went to a Dartmouth camp summer going into my senior year, and Coach Martin was there. And I ended up later that fall, I verbally committed to Bates. And I'm pretty happy with the decision. He didn't talk to me directly at the camp,
right,
but he reached out to me a week after, and he pretty much said, like, he liked what he saw. You could be a big addition to our program. And I really wanted to go to a place where I was wanted. as opposed to some other places I was talking to, be like, you know, like maybe we can get you a walk-on spot, but I definitely wanted to go where I was wanted.
Great. And then third base, have you been playing that your whole life?
So when I was recruited, I was like 30 pounds heavier, so he kind of saw me as a first baseman. And on my visit, he's like, yeah, you're probably going to play some first base for us. So when I showed up my freshman year, I was a lot lighter, and he's like, oh, wow. So I guess he wanted me at third, and that's where I've been ever since.
So you were a first baseman in high school? Or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha. And so what was the transition like going to the other corner?
It wasn't that difficult. I guess it was – I had to work more on my agility because at first base, it's more just catch the ball.
Right.
But, I mean, I definitely feel more prepared and alert in practice because I have to move around more, put more focus in the defense just as much as offense.
What was the competition like playing in high school in Georgia? I feel like there's pretty good baseball in the South.
It was pretty good. So I'm from Southeast Georgia. The baseball is like – it's pretty decent there, but – the early in the preseason, we would play teams from Atlanta, and usually we would get stomped by them. But, I mean, it was good to see a lot of, like, draft prospects and the high-level D1 kids that we got to face.
So after basically no season last year, just a few games there late in the year, you got to return to Florida, your second Florida trip, basically.
Yes.
So what was this one like? Obviously a good one for the Bobcats, 2-1.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was just fun to be out there and play with everyone. And honestly, this is probably the most talented team that I've been on the last 3 years. And this is the first, I think, winning preseason trip we've had. And I don't know when the last one was, but I remember 2 years ago wasn't very good. The year before that, I wasn't there, but it was probably the same as my freshman year. But this was a good trip for sure.
You mentioned the talent. I mean, a lot of offense, a lot of runs
I saw.
So tell us about, you know, some of your fellow hitters there in the lineup.
Yeah, so top to bottom, we can really swing it. We have a really loud offense. Tyler Atall really, really did well. He had 2 home runs. Our leadoff hitter, Kevin Lucy, he got on base a lot. Noah Jankowski, he had 4 extra base hits. He did really well. I mean, honestly, no one did poorly at the plate. Top to bottom, we were really doing well.
Yeah, that's definitely really exciting. And then for you hit a home run down there. I know you hit one before in Florida, but you hit another one here. Take us through that at bat.
So my freshman year, it was also against a lefty and the exact same field. So I thought it was kind of weird that it happened to be there. But I remember that game my freshman year, I had the exact same stat line as I did that day. I went 2-for-5 with a home run, 2 RBIs, 2 strikeouts, and a flyout. And I looked back, and I was like, oh, my God, that's the exact same day I had at the plate 2 years ago. But we won this time.
Right. Yeah. There you go. That's the big difference. And then what do you see on the pitch? Was it like a – what kind of pitch was it or anything?
I think it was a – Fastball inside.
Yeah. So
Martin's really a stickler about hitting fastballs early in the count.
Right.
And that's usually where we have most of our success.
That was my philosophy as a player because I could never hit a breaking ball. So just jumping that fastball, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious about the Carthage game. What a wild one. Take us through that game from your perspective.
So, well, first of all, it was like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And we almost missed our flight at the airport. But We were down, I think, 9-5 at one point. And what really got us going, I think, was Noah Jankowski's bases clearing double. And then we would just get on base, walks, errors by the other team, and we just kept rolling. And Chris McGrail came in, and he threw 3 or 4 scoreless innings, and he really kept us in that game. And honestly, it was like that was a game where everyone did something to participate in the win. And I think that's what makes this team and that game really special.
Yeah, and you had, first year McGrail get the win. You also had a first year come in and get the final out for the save, right?
Yeah, 3-2 breaking ball, bases loaded.
That takes some guts.
Yeah.
And then that was McCaslin, right?
Yes, yeah. He pitched twice this trip.
Okay, nice. So what are the first years like? I mean, how are they adjusting so far, from your opinion?
We have a lot of solid first years. There were several that didn't even get a chance to play, but Joe Bianchi can really swing it. He's got a really good bat. He didn't get a chance to play, but him, Brendan Kelly's a really good defender. He got one at bat in Florida. Ben Genzer can really swing it too. He hit like five home runs in BP before every game. And Micah Sheets did really well in game two. We just kind of fell apart a little bit defensively that game. But, I mean, he's gonna do really well for us this year.
Yeah, so exciting young group. And then your junior class, what are you guys feeling like now? I mean, how pumped are you to actually have a real season?
We're really excited. I mean, this is our first full season since our senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And we're a really talented class, and I think all of us are playing a big role in the lineup this year.
Great, great. And then what are some goals you kind of set in your mind for yourself and maybe for the team also?
Well, I mean, definitely we want to win the NESCAC. For me, I definitely want to play a big role in the offense this year. I definitely want to be able to drive in runs being in the middle of the lineup, as do the majority of my class is hitting early in the lineup too. So I think us, the junior class, is going to score a lot of runs for us.
What's the dynamic like? What's the type of team are you guys? Like, are you really, really loose out there, more all business? How's it go?
This year, we are extremely loose.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the airport, we're all rowdy. We have a really good team chemistry. I think that's going to help us a lot this year. We have a lot of locker room guys, too. Good group of guys.
Great. And you mentioned Coach Martin's kind of philosophy on, you know, jumping on fastballs early in the count. What have you learned from him so far? Like, you know, as the head coach at Bates and you coming in the last, you know, 2 years, even though you really haven't had very many games, I guess.
He's told me this several times, but he hates when I swing at off speed early in the count, especially when they're balls. So, I mean, the majority of my success, I would say, is early in the count fastballs. And I remember a couple at-bats I had in Florida. I think I would swing like a 1-1 breaking ball in the dirt, which would kind of change the entire at-bat.
Mm.
But definitely he likes hunting fastballs early in the count and driving them.
This weekend you guys are going to New York, right?
Yeah, we're playing Middlebury on Saturday and then a doubleheader against RPI Sunday.
What are your thoughts kind of on this, you know, the non-conference games here and how you use them to prepare for NESCAC games? Do you treat them the same or any differently, perhaps?
We definitely want to come out hot against both these teams. I mean, we haven't played Middlebury yet, or at least I haven't, or RPI. We know they're both really good ball clubs, but we're going to be ready.
Do you know much about the players you're facing? Typically not, probably, right, for these non-conference at least?
I know Middlebury has one really good pitcher, but other than that, I don't really know that much about him.
So how do you approach a game when you come in and you don't really know much about who you're facing as a hitter? Like, you have to watch the warm-ups pretty closely, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what we did against the three teams we've played this past weekend.
Is there any thoughts you wanted to share about, you know, your time at Bates so far we haven't got to talk about?
I mean, it's been a weird time so far, but I'm glad it's starting to turn around a little bit, and hopefully this year will be a normal and full baseball season.
Yep, looking forward to having a lot of home games hopefully this year, starting in April, I believe, at Leahy Field. So, Henry, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It's March, so it's National Athletic Trainers Month. We are proud to salute our sports medicine team at Bates. Certified athletic trainer Andrew England works closely with the NESCAC champion women's basketball team, and he joins this week's episode of the Bobcast.
Well, it's March 1st, so it's National Athletic Trainers Month here on the Bobcast. We have Andrew England, who works directly with a number of our sports teams, including women's basketball. And Andrew, first of all, let's get some background on you. Tell me a little bit about how you first got into this profession, basically.
Yeah, so the story is actually pretty funny. I actually kind of got into it without realizing what it all fully entailed. So when I was a freshman at South Carolina, I went in as a tourism management major, and I took my first class, and I was just sitting there, and I was like, yeah, no thanks. And so I went to the career center and, you know, did the whole, like, where should I go? I'm a freshman. I don't know what I'm doing, whole spiel. And then they pointed me, well, have you ever thought about doing anything like from a science standpoint? I'm like, yeah, I like science. Yeah, sure. I like science. And then I was like, well, what about like health, like health and well-being, anatomy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I could do that. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe I, after like kind of thinking about it, I kind of ironed it out to physical therapy. And then literally the day I was going to go to the registrar and talk to them about changing my major, I saw in like a pamphlet, like athletic training, sports medicine, work with sports teams, provide health and well-being to the athletes. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give that a shot. Not realizing what all that entailed. My high school didn't have an athletic trainer. And yeah, I took, I switched it to that and went and sat in my first class and just fell in love with it ever since. And I've been, that's kind of what I got in. That's how I got into it. It was just pure accidental luck and very thankful that I kind of just stumbled into it.
And what's the best part about the job from your perspective?
The best part to me about the job is seeing adversity be overcome and having the opportunity to mentor individuals who sustain, like who are at their very worst, and mentor them to being their very best. So it's not about, it's not just about bringing someone back from an injury. It's being able to mentor them to become better people. And like, there are so many examples of here, even at Bates, where I've had the opportunity to work with student athletes who have gone from, you know, tearing their ACL or having to get a substantial surgery or a concussion, and seeing them at their lowest and being able to watch them stare adversity in the face and grow, not and overcome the things that just absolutely suck, and go from being at their very worst to overcoming their very best. Like seeing someone, like the perfect example is seeing, there's a women's basketball player who my first year tore her ACL the year before. And, you know, when I got her, she was a little behind, and we put in a lot of work, and she overcame a lot of adversity. And, you know, like to like going and watching, like going, seeing her at her lowest and then watching her overcome all the hard work and like staring adversity in the face. And then when we went to Bowdoin this past year and she played, and she, I remember there was a moment where she was shooting free throws and the student section of Bowdoin was like giving her a hard time. And she just stared at them each time after making a free throw. And just seeing someone like make that huge play at the end of like a really long season or a really long time being out, is just, that makes it all worth it. It's just seeing that overcoming that adversity and watching them grow, not only as athletes, but as people in that. Because you're preparing them for life too.
For sure. And you mentioned women's basketball, of course. You are the trainer for the women's basketball team, and they're headed to the NCAA tournament this weekend in New York City. You were there, obviously, for the NESCAC tournament as well. I saw you getting into it there on the sideline. What's it been like having, you know, being with this team this year?
Oh, you know, it's really been a huge blessing. I am so excited for these girls, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. The perspective for me has been, you know, I've known these girls since like sophomore year, and watching them all work hard through last year, with last year being not the greatest of years from an athletic standpoint, watching them overcome that and working as hard as they have, and then just seeing them be victorious and overcome and respond to the multitudes of adversity from all different angles, and watching them just win, like watching them play their heart out and, you know, win, like not just winning by barely, like winning substantially. And seeing, like when I came in here, I think we were like 12 and 13 that first season, and we got demolished by Amherst, and then just watching us just win and handily this past Sunday, it just gave me so much satisfaction. But it's just been really cool because, you know, I get to know those girls on a very personal level, and seeing like getting to know like them on a personal level and seeing them succeed, it's like it's relationships that I'm very thankful for. And it's just really cool to see someone who people who I really love and care about do as well as they're doing. And that makes all the hard work and everything worth it.
Terrific. And we often talk with, you know, athletes about their game day routine. And what's your game day routine from a trainer's perspective?
Game day routine. So for usually if it's a home game, I usually try to get there around shoot around time, so we can just do any sort of, I just like to be there at shoot around just to make my presence known. They usually don't really need anything, but if they do need something, I'm there if they need it. but I also use that time to get some of my admin work done, like paperwork and rehabs written for all the things like from earlier in that week. And then usually there's like that awkward hour gap. And like I said, that's when I'm doing admin time. And then usually with the game day routine, they usually come in about an hour before they have to be on court for warmups. And that's usually when we have a good time. That's when I do all my pregame taping and just getting the girls warmed up to have a good game. We usually blast some pretty loud music. It alternates from Kanye to a High School Musical. So it really depends on what the vibe is for that day. I think we've had a lot more success with High School Musical than we've had with Kanye, but I feel like High School Musical has been what's getting the girls the most pumped up recently. That's usually my game day routine. And then it's just, you know, sitting there watching the game. Thankfully, I'm wearing a mask because I'm saying things under my breath that I'm glad aren't getting caught on camera. And just like watching them succeed and, you know, break down, take some ibuprofen and then go from there. So that's usually my game day routine.
So you mentioned your first year was the 2019-2020 season. What drew you to Bates? Because you said you went to the University of South Carolina. What was your journey here to Bates eventually?
Yeah, so originally I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. I went to undergrad at the University of South Carolina for athletic training. And I went to grad school at Boston University, where I graduated in 2019. And I really liked being in New England a lot. I really liked seasons. Like in South Carolina, it just feels like you're walking through like hot soup all the time. And I really enjoyed like having that multitude of seasons. And I really wanted to stay in New England as long as I could. And I, you know, NATA, which is the National Athletic Trainers Association, has a career center where you can look for jobs and whatnot. And I was looking only in New England and Bates popped up. And shockingly, one of my former coworkers who used to be an athletic trainer here, Katie O'Neill, actually went to grad school at the same time I was going to undergrad at South Carolina. And she was working at Bates. And so we had a previous relationship and I reached out to her and she kind of advocated for me. And that's all she wrote. And I applied and got interviewed and I was blessed to be offered the job. June of like 2019, and I took it, and I have never once regretted taking it. So I'm very thankful to be up here. Love Maine, fall in love with it more and more every day, except for Moxie. I still don't get
I actually like Moxie, and my wife thinks I'm crazy. But but I was curious about maybe something people don't know about your job that you wish they did.
Something that I do wish that a lot of student athletes knew about my job, as well as a lot of coaches, is the amount of behind the scenes work that goes on. I think, and it's hard. I think a lot of people have the temptation to take what we do at face value. They don't see the amount of rehabs, like the extra hours of writing rehabs that goes into it, like advocating to our doctors to kind of get them back on the field as safely as possible. All the annoying other admin stuff like insurance work, emailing other healthcare providers, like all the busy work that takes up time. And it's just all the behind the scenes work that we as athletic trainers do that I think kind of gets a little daunting whenever we get a little bit discouraged. But I think ultimately, I would say a lot of the student athletes know that we work hard and we do our best to take care of them. But it is always nice to be encouraged that, you know, hey, we see the work that you're doing and we're very appreciative of that, but we don't do it for that's not saying that we do it for, to be recognized or to be thanked or to be appreciated. We do it because we love the kids. We love the student athletes. We love athletics and we want to be a part of that as best as we can. And if that's keeping people healthy and putting in those extra hours and working behind the scenes, though, it's what we're willing to do. And that's what we want to do.
One of the wild things that I'm sure you weren't expecting when you took the job, and it's because of the situation that happened shortly after you took the job, I guess, sort of in early 2020, in March of 2020 specifically, all of a sudden the COVID pandemic breaks out and all of a sudden sports medicine at Bates is on the front lines of battling that. What's that been like for you? I mean, that's not what really, no one signed up for that, but someone had to step up, right?
That was wild.
Yeah.
It was definitely my first year and it was something where 1 week I was down in Charleston at a wedding. And then the next week we were sending everyone home and, you know, my heart broke a little bit. for the student athletes. I'm thankful for the time I had. Yeah, COVID has been a wild ride. I'm thankful for the job security, and I'm thankful for the opportunities to grow, not only as an athletic trainer, but also as an administrator and whatnot. I think I've seen a lot of personal development and growth in my own life as well as in others. But yeah, like short answer, it was wild. There was times where there were many tears. There are times where there was a lot of anger, and there was a time for a lot of apathy. But I mean, I think that's how everyone was feeling during COVID. So, but yeah, a lot of it was, you know, our associate athletic director for health or athletic performance, Nick Cook, he stepped up and he essentially became the testing center clinical coordinator. And thankfully, he knew that athletic trainers are very flexible individuals and are able to multitask well. And so he provided us opportunities to help keep the school afloat. And I'm very thankful for that. So we did everything from helping to run the testing center to contact tracing, the student facing side, as well as a lot of other behind the scenes things that we needed to do on top of all the other sports medicine and athletic training requirements that go with a normal season. Thankfully, sports medicine is starting to not phase out or trickle out, but we definitely have a little bit less responsibility now with COVID from a COVID standpoint compared to a year ago. So it was definitely a time I felt like we were all doing two full-time jobs at once, but I think that's how a lot of people at Bates College felt anyway. So, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to learn and grow as a professional, but also it made me really appreciate being an athletic trainer even more. If anything, I've fallen more in love with my profession because I wasn't able to do it to the full extent last year because we weren't really having any athletics going on. And now that we have athletics back in a full force, like what a year. One, I've been double blessed because I've fallen back in love with my profession. And also I'm going to the freaking NCAA tournament. Like how excited, like, I mean, what, it doesn't get any better than that. So I'm very, very thankful and excited. So I think COVID, as rough as it was, if you have a good perspective about it, has really, like, there's a silver lining behind everything, and everything happens for a reason. So it's kind of facing that adversity, like I was describing to you earlier, and responding to it in a way that develops growth for you and helps promote growth in others. And I think that's something I'm really excited about and thankful for that I got to be a part of, as crappy as it was at times.
Absolutely. And then last question for you. You mentioned NCAAs. Yep. We're going down there this weekend. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on it? Give us a little preview of Bates and Roger Williams. What's going to be key for the Bobcats to get the victory?
Well, I think from an expert opinion,
yeah.
I think we need to get the ball in the hoop more than Roger Williams needs to get the ball in the hoop. I will say, I do think that rebounding is going to be huge. I think we need to continue to box out. I mean, we out-rebounded Amherst by, like, I think it was like, what, like 20, 25?
A lot, yeah.
a lot to a little.
Right.
And I think that if we can continue to rebound as aggressively as we were against Amherst, and I think if we can just, you know, play our pace, use our talent, and just play confidently, like we, like, expect to win, like we have been expecting to win these last few games, I think we have a lot of momentum going in. And I think we just going to continue to ride that out. And I'll be on the sideline again, like I said before, mumbling things under my breath that probably shouldn't be seen on camera. But we are going to go out there and we're going to win, and we are going to play as hard as we can because that's just what we've been doing. And I will do everything in my power to make sure that everyone is on that court as healthy as possible.
Great. Andrew England, certified athletic trainer with Bates Sports Medicine. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, and happy Athletic Trainers Month again.
Thank you. Go thank your athletic trainer. Thank you.
In other Bates Athletics news last week, the men's lacrosse team fell 12-7 at Babson, and the women's lacrosse team lost a tight 8-7 game in overtime on the road at number 25 nationally ranked University of Chicago. The skiing teams combined to place 9th at NCAA East Regionals, and the women's squash team ended CSA Nationals on a high note by beating Bowdoin 6-3. Go to GoBatesBobcats.com or the Bates Bobcats mobile app for your favorite team's complete schedules and results. There's a lot going on in Bates Athletics right now, highlighted by the women's basketball team heading to New York City for the NCAA tournament this weekend, and 13 Bates swimmers heading to their NCAAs later this month. And we'll have it all covered next time on the Bates Bobcast.